And you're listening to Unusual Sources here on 93.3 CFMU FM, broadcasting to Hamilton at 93.3 on the FM dial and the rest of the world at cfmu.mcmaster.ca. I'm very pleased to say today that I'm going to be bringing Dave Lindorf from This Can't Be Happening, from Counterpunch, from all over the web, onto the program to discuss some very important, very pertinent issues. In fact, let's see if we have him on the line. Hi, Dave. How are you there?
Hey, Brendan. I'm here.
Hi, Dave. I'm glad to have you here. Listen, every time I have you on this program, it's always about something that can't be happening. You know, this can't be happening. It's always something unbelievably horrible. You've chosen the right name for your website and blog there. The situation in the Western world and in the entire world continues to deteriorate in terms of civil liberties, in terms of war, in terms of the environment. You cover all of this on This Can't Be Happening. So before we start talking about some of these issues, I guess we should just let our listeners know where to find this. We have it, thiscan'tbehappening.net. So if you just type in your browser, thiscan'tbehappening.net, that's where you can find Dave Lindorf's articles. And Dave Lindorf, of course, writes for Counterpunch and other publications, so you can find him regularly on Counterpunch. He's an institution there, and as well with This Can't Be Happening. So you've been covering some of the major issues to hit the press making sure that we really take a close look at what's going on. A lot of this has to do with civil liberties, or rather the deterioration of civil liberties here in the Anglosphere. And, you know, a great example of this, of course, is the detention of Glenn Greenwald's partner, David Miranda. Now, you had suggested in your article this was August 20th, that it looks like that detention order came from the United States. Why do you think that's the case?
I think it very clearly did. It goes back to the U.S. No-fly list, which has been, you know, in place for a decade or more now. I did a lot of research on and reporting on that when it was first set up, and broke the story in Salon that there were really two lists. There was a no-fly list for people who were considered threats of blowing up airplanes or taking over commandeering airplanes. And then there was a much, much, much larger list that has been growing by leaps and bounds every year, of people to be detained, harassed, prevented from getting on their flight, you know, and so on. And this was totally political, not people who, you know, they basically harass you and then let you fly because you're not a threat to the airplane. You're an enemy of the state, in their view. So, and I was on that list for a while. I used to get a little S on my boarding pass, and then I'd be pulled aside, as many of people have experienced. It's gotten much more serious now, and I think it's clear that what happened was Miranda was on that list, and the airlines know it, and they're supposed to act on it and when someone comes to the counter and, you know, shows their boarding pass. And so, you know, Miranda, they knew Miranda was flying into Heathrow because of that list in Britain. And so what did they do? They contacted the U.S. Now, why would British security people contact the U.S. If it was somebody on their list? They wanted the U.S. to know and said, what should we do? They didn't want the U.S. to know. The U.S. knew. They were saying, what should we do with him?
Well, wait,
the U.S. obviously told them, take his stuff.
David Miranda is a Brazilian citizen, isn't he?
Exactly. They didn't notify the Brazilians. They notified the U.S., which, clearly they were asking for instructions. What do we do with him? And the U.S. was telling them.
Wow. Now, it's not been an easy few months for Greenwald or anyone who's working with him, you know, in the case of The Guardian, for example. The detention sort of relates to this larger issue. Greenwald's been working with The Guardian. So many important articles have come out that are read by millions of people. He's bringing attention to these civil liberties issues, the war, and so on. And so now, I mean, The Guardian's getting some of this stormtrooper treatment. What was it that happened exactly?
Well, the Guardian really caught it, because not only did they go after Miranda, who was being paid by the Guardian to go pick up some materials and deliver some materials between Greenwald and the reporter Laura Poitras, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, who the filmmaker who was his partner in reporting Snowden's exposés, but – So he was a courier, and the reason he was a courier is because they weren't trusting the electronic media, so he had to physically bring materials to them. And so that's what they were circumventing. They were trying to knock down another route for journalists to do their work.
It's like some World War II movie. You got the French resistance on bicycles, you know, moving around past borders and checkpoints.
Yeah, I mean, we're back to the point where you have to use written notes and in-person interviews in, you know, way stations where you can't be followed as a journalist, because they're monitoring everything we do. They're monitoring the phone calls. They're monitoring the emails. They're monitoring what you write. They're monitoring everything. So if you've got a story you're working on, you've pretty much got to talk to your, you know, to any confidential sources in person. And not only that, but you have to do it in such a way that, you know, you use spy techniques to avoid detection. I mean, people are using the throwaway cell phones now. You know, you give one to the person and you get one yourself and you use the numbers and then you throw them away.
Yeah, it's a shame you can't even trust your own phone. It's been disclosed now. Yeah, they're looking at phones. They're looking at emails, cell phones,
mobile. They're
looking
mobile. At mail.
Physical mail.
Every letter is being photographed now.
Yeah. Basically, every single thing that paranoid people warned about a few years ago is
exactly.
I know, you know, you say, oh, that you're crazy.
This can't be happening.
Right, this can't be happening, but it is. And thanks to the NSA and other institutions, this is what Greenwald and Miranda have to do. They can't live an ordinary life. There's all sorts of secret lists. I mean, how did you find out you're on the no-fly or whatever that list was, the harassment list?
Oh, because I started getting this. It was the time I was doing my book on the case for impeachment in the Bush years, and I was traveling a lot to Asia because I had a residency teaching journalism in Taiwan, and I started getting these S's with a circle around them marked on my boarding pass. And I said, "What is that?" You know, when they gave it to me, and they said, "Oh, well, we can't really say." And then, you know, I'd get to the TSA place, and then I'd get pulled aside, and they'd go through everything in my bag, and they'd sometimes pull me into another room. They did this when I had my 11-year-old adopted son Jed with me. Sometimes, I mean, it was just ludicrous. Obviously, I was not having this done because I was a potential terrorist, but it was because of the work I was doing on Bush's war crimes.
Yeah, they're basically criminalizing journalism. You reveal things they don't want you to. This isn't the 1970s when you know, you could hide away for a few days and then get into the national papers. Now you've got to take all of these measures, unfortunately.
Yeah, the goal is to try to stop you from doing your journalism.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not working with Greenwald. It didn't work with me. It's not going to work with. It's not working with Risen, who's threatened with jail right now for his excellent reporting on how the CIA basically gave Iran the information it needed to build a nuclear trigger. You know, these are East Germany, and we're there now. The government has become the Stasi, only with electronic capabilities that the Stasi could only dream of. They were using paper.
Yeah, police states, theirs and ours. I heard the Stasi could only look at about 50 telephones at once, you know, back in the day. But obviously we have much greater capabilities that would cause anyone else to envy what the United States is able to achieve here. And, you know, there's been people that have been frightened at the capacity of what our state is building. We have the case of Bradley, or I should say Chelsea Manning now, who has been in a lot of trouble, obviously. And you wrote about this issue as well. It's clearly related to the growth of the surveillance state, the warfare state, and so on. You gave an analogy in this article. You looked at Manning in the context of someone... Another soldier from decades ago, Lieutenant Kelly, William Kelly.
Yeah, William Kelly, who was found guilty specifically of personally slaughtering 22 women and children in My Lai, but it was the commanding officer who ordered and oversaw the much larger slaughter at the same time by his troops under his command of over 500 old people, women and children, and in that incident. He was sentenced to life in prison at the trial, but before he even set foot in jail, Richard Nixon commuted his sentence to 20 years of house arrest, and then over the course of the next couple of years, that became the incredible vanishing sentence. It was reduced to 3 years, then 2.5 years, then 2 years, and then finally his verdict was overturned on the grounds that the government had not timely filed charges against him. Well, for God's sakes, I mean, look at Bradley Manning. They didn't file charges against him for 2 years while they held him in solitary with no clothes on in a cold cell, forcing him to answer every 5 minutes to the question, "Are you okay?" So he couldn't sleep. I mean, it was torture. The UN rapporteur on torture investigated and said he was being tortured. So, and this was all without charges.
But yeah,
We're not seeing the difference is that Callie was guilty of mass murder. And Manning didn't hurt anybody, but is actually a hero because he did what he was supposed to do, which was report war crimes by the U.S. and in doing so, preventing more killings. So one of them gets let off entirely, and the other one is put in jail for 35 years.
Yeah, I mean, these are really interesting observations. For our listeners who were born after Reagan, I suppose, it might not be in their minds what happened with Callie. That was a big scandal eventually. I mean, everyone in America came to know about it when these 22 people were killed under his command in Vietnam. So it was revealed what he did. People were shocked, but there was a lot of support from the right wing for what he was doing. They had this sort of kill them all, let God sort them out attitude, as you point out. So they kept shaving away. I mean, this guy, he had been involved in this crime. There had been people killed. And then they shaved away the sentence.
He didn't spend a day in jail. He was in house arrest at Fort Benning.
And so despite that happening, you have the alternate case of Manning, who didn't shoot anyone. And he's already, without being charged or anything like that, he spent time in jail. And I think you mentioned the president himself basically said, you know, that we think is guilty.
Yeah, one of the reasons the court gave for overturning Manning's sentence was pretrial publicity. And the pretrial publicity was photographs of his victims. Manning's case, the pretrial publicity was the president saying he was guilty, which is pretty awful. When you consider that, you know, he was being tried in a military court where the judge is in the chain of command, and she, by the way, had been offered a promotion while she was a judge. So she was bribed by the Pentagon to find him guilty.
Incredible. Well, he's been hung out to dry. It's really, really been... they made an example out of him, as you said. That's what their main goal was.
Yeah, and let's think about that for a second. He's getting 35 years for a crime that didn't hurt anybody and that the government could not show had done any damage to the U.S. He was not allowed to make the argument in the court that he was following his obligation under the U.S. Code of Military Justice to report crimes that he saw by the military. That's an obligation of soldiers, and he wasn't allowed to make that argument. So if you look at it that way, he was actually sentenced for something that was not a crime at all.
They haven't really shown how his actions hurt anybody. They just said he was aiding the enemy, and they didn't say which enemy it was.
Well, they said that he wasn't. It was funny. They said he was not aiding the enemy.
Right, right.
But he was convicted of espionage. Now, how do you have espionage if you don't have an enemy?
Well, the enemy is the American public in this case.
Well, exactly.
And, that's clear also from Greenwald and what's happening. The enemy is the UK public, the Canadian public, the US public. Now they're trying to force a war down our throats yet again, despite massive opposition. And, we can talk about that, but we should mention your article was excellent. It's from the 21st. It was on This Can't Be Happening. Again, thiscan'tbehappening.net. And I just want to direct people to it because you also included the statement that Manning wrote after he learned about his sentence. It's a very powerful statement.
It's an amazingly powerful statement for somebody who's facing 35 years. And he was asking for a pardon, but in saying he was asking for a pardon, he quoted Howard Zinn and said this was a long chain of crimes by the U.S., like the Trail of, going back to the Trail of Tears and so on. And he quoted Howard Zinn as saying that it would take a very, very large flag to cover all the crimes of the United States of America.
Wow. It's
not exactly designed to win you a pardon.
No, but Manning understood that this is a very difficult time, a very, very dangerous time for the United States. And even though he's going to be put in prison, and he said so that, you know, sometimes people have to suffer in order to do the right thing. He says, our nation has had similar dark moments for the virtues of democracy. The Trail of Tears, the Dred Scott decision, McCarthyism, the Japanese-American internment camps, to name a few. I am confident that many of our actions since 9/11 will one day be viewed in a similar light. So he's able to place things in historical context. He knows that these actions will be judged. And in the end, I think the verdict is going to be against the United States government.
Yeah, history will clearly say that he's a martyr for freedom. Mm-hmm. And he has the knowledge to know that, and the incredible courage to put up with what's going to be done to him for the next 35 years. It's a horrible thought.
Well, as you say, you know, William Calley eventually had remorse for what he did. He was supposed to give a speech when he was 70 years old at a dinner, and
Kiwanee Club dinner.
Kiwanee Club, right. So they thought it would just be some nice, happy speech. But he says, there's not a day that goes by that I do not feel remorse for what happened that day. So people can realize that they've made mistakes. And I think what Manning is hoping for is that the United States can realize that it's made a mistake, although I don't expect any admissions on that subject anytime soon.
No, but the American people at least hopefully start to see more clearly what's being done. I think the Syrian war thing is a good example where, the lies have been so thick and so many since 2001 that I think people now don't believe what they're hearing from the government anymore, which is why the latest Reuters poll shows that 60% oppose an attack on Syria and only 9% are supporting an attack. That's pretty. The Colin Powell doctrine was you don't go to war unless there's public support. They sure don't have public support now.
Powell actually came out just the other day and said, we shouldn't get involved in this. We need to back out of Syria. We need to. We're not going to benefit, and there's going to be a lot of waste and suffering, or something to that effect. So
yeah. Well, he's learned his lesson.
Hopefully. I don't know.
Relatedly, I mean, he had blood on his hands in My Lai. I mean, I think the guy is, dripping with blood, but he is, having a change of heart at the end of his life.
Well, he's willing to say some elements of the truth, and I think that's the best we can hope for in many cases. I'm glad we saw that at least. Once again, the answer is bombing is what we're being told by the U.S., and that's the title of the John Grant article very recently in This Can't Be Happening. And as the article points out, and you just said, nobody wants this. 9% support. If you look on Facebook and social media and on comment sections of major websites like the Washington Post or Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, there's a lot of opposition in the comments sections to going on, an enormous amount of dissent over what we're being told. As you said, we know we're being fed lies. Powell himself actually said that just a couple of years ago, maybe it was last year. He said, yeah, we were lied to, and you need to be more skeptical. Okay, that's what he said.
Yeah, that's right. And let me point out that John, who is our war and peace correspondent, is a Vietnam vet himself and was in country in Vietnam and saw the lies firsthand. I mean, he volunteered as a 18-year-old to go and fight because he believed the lies and then, learned firsthand that it was all lies. And John came back to become an active member of the Vietnam Vets Against the War and has since then been a leader and activist in Veterans for Peace.
Wow. Well, this is the kind of reporting and coverage you can get on This Can't Be Happening. So I just want to remind our listeners, you can find it online. This Can't Be Happening. There's no apostrophe or anything. It's just thiscan'tbehappening.net. And you can also find Dave Lindorf's writings on Counterpunch, for example. There was one
on Truth Out.
Not on Truth Out?
Okay. We're banned from Truth Out.
Oh, I heard there was a bit of a dust up on there about Syria.
This has been for some time now, over a year. They've considered us too uppity because we've complained when they have not stolen our pieces.
Oh, that's too bad. I do like to see your pieces get distributed on the internet, people, as long as that's with permission, of course, and we can find you on Counterpunch, and let me see here. Yep, it's thiscan'tbehappening.net. And the thing is, people can also contribute and donate to the publication, because you've set this up, set this place up where people can write. You have regular correspondence. Even if we missed it on other publications, you have this, regularly updated site and blog. So people, is there like a PayPal link or something where people can
contribute? Yeah, there's a PayPal link and a mailbox if people don't want to use PayPal. But we depend on donations totally. None of us is getting paid for this. We're seven journalists who've formed a collective to do this because we think most of the lefty news sites are assembling articles that have already been written, and we felt there was a need for a group of journalists who could produce alternative news, and that's what we're doing.
Right. Well, if you don't want to pay your cable bill and to get CNN and and whatnot, maybe this is where one of the places the money could be going. So, yeah, I encourage people to donate and contribute to that. I do now and then as well. Thanks so much, Dave. I look forward to your upcoming articles. I always do, and I read each and every one of them. So keep up now with this the Syria business. It's looking very soon that we're going to have a lot more to talk about.
Sadly,
know that,
so.
Yep, you're a place where we can get this kind of information and coverage. So thanks. I appreciate it. Keep up the good work. People should go to This Can't Be Happening. I guess they can be in touch with you through the internet. So thanks very much, Dave.
Thanks for having me on, Brendan.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And that, of course, was Dave Lindorf, a journalist. He has his own website, This Can't Be Happening. Again, a perfect title, well chosen. And you can find it on the web at thiscan'tbehappening.net. It's just all one, This Can't Be Happening. Listen, the U.S. is stepping on the gas when it comes to Syria, even though there's a lot of voices telling them to slow down. Hopefully those voices will be listened to. Hopefully the U.N. inspectors can finish their job, among other things. There's a great deal of danger afoot. So if you want to take action on this, go to the Canadian Peace Alliance website or the Toronto Coalition to Stop the War. That's www.nowar.ca, or the Hamilton Coalition to Stop the War, www.hamiltoncoalitiontostopthewar.ca, or find it on a search engine. Within one day, the demonstrations happening will be posted. There are demonstrations happening all over the world, from UK, from London, down to Canada, Halifax, Toronto, Niagara Falls. I think Hamilton will be having some actions soon enough, at the very least, in cooperation with Toronto. So go to those websites. Go to the Facebook page for Hamilton Coalition to Stop the War. Go to the Facebook page for Canadian Peace Alliance. Go to the Facebook page for Toronto Coalition to Stop the War. All the details are being posted there this Saturday in Toronto. Okay, that's what I'm told. Saturday, Toronto, an anti-war demonstration. Go to the Toronto Coalition to Stop the War Facebook page and website. So that's it for this week. I was glad to have our friends from Counterpunch. It was great to have Dave Lindorf, and his blog, of course, is thiscan'tbehappening.net.